This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله خالق الوجود من العدم وجاعل النور من الظلم ومخرج الصبر من الألم وملقي التوبة على الندم فنشكره على المصائب كما نشكره على النعم ونصلي على رسوله الأكرم ذي الشرف الأشم والنور الأتم والكتاب المحكم وكمال النبيين والخاتم سيدي ولدي آدم الذي بشر به عيسى بن مريم ودعا لبعثته إبراهيم عليه السلام حين كان يرفع قواعد بيت الله المحرم فصلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى أتباعه خير الأمم الذين بارك الله بهم كافة الناس العرب منهم والعجم الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا والحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا الحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا فصلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: ولما بلغ أشده واستوى آتيناه حكما وعلما وكذلك نجزي المحسنين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم ثبتنا عند الموت بلا إله إلا الله، واللهم اجعلنا من الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. آمين يا رب العالمين. A couple of weeks ago when I was here, I spoke with you about the right of people to get married, and I made a promise that I'll be addressing the subject matter that pertains to young men or unmarried men, and what Allah Azza wa Jalla has to give us in terms of guidance, or to men in terms of guidance, on how to become the kinds of men that can actually carry out the responsibility of marriage. And what I want to start by saying is I'm not sure if I'll be able to complete what I intend to share with you from the Quran on this subject in today's khutbah, but at least it's the start of a conversation. This more or less is a kind of conversation I've had thousands of times with many, many young men from around the world in private settings, but never really in the form of a lecture except in passing. The first thing I want to start with is to let you know that some of the most important teachings of the Quran and guidance and counsel of the Quran, Allah tells us by way of telling us a story. And that's actually what really good teachers do. Really good teachers will tell you timeless lessons by telling you a story, and you get the not just the characters and the events, but you understand the lesson that the teacher is trying to get across to you by the way the story was told. And Allah does that in the Quran through His stories. He teaches us a lot of timeless lessons that apply to our lives today by the way in which He tells us different stories. And really the most glaring story in the Quran that has guidance for young men that are of the age where they should be getting married, or they think they're ready to get married, is probably the story of Musa alayhi salam, because it's the only marriage proposal and marriage story mentioned in the Quran in that detail. So even though I've talked about that story hundreds of times, my intention, first and foremost, before I go to some other things, like there's a couple of ahadith, and there are some other specific ayat of the Quran on the subject that I wanted to touch on. But before I do that, I wanted to take another look at this story, specifically for men. Men that are looking to get married. How can they extract some things for themselves? And if you have sons, for example, that are of the age to get married, or you're, you know, one of the women of our community is considering somebody for marriage, these are all relevant for everybody because marriage is a part of life. And so what I wanted to dedicate this khutbah to is the start of that conversation. You see, the first thing Allah mentions about Musa alayhi salam relevant to our discussion is وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ وَاسْتَوَى آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah describes Musa alayhi salam before he was a prophet, and He says when he reached mature age, بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ. And that it's a poor translation, really, mature age, because it actually, in legal terms, means when you hit puberty. So, you know, بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ in the Quran, he reached his most firm age, actually means the age of puberty. Because in our deen, in our religion, when a young man, even though in modern society we call them adolescents, and they're in their teenage years, in Sharia, when you're old enough to hit puberty and you start feeling that genuine attraction towards the opposite gender, you are held accountable as an adult. You're not a young kid who doesn't have a driver's license yet, or you don't have a house yet, or you don't have a full-time job yet. As far as sins are concerned, as far as the obligations of our religion are concerned, Allah Himself holds you as accountable as He would somebody who's 60 years old. So you're an adult as far as Allah is speaking to you. What happens in modern society is we treat young men, and even women, but particularly I want to talk about young men, we treat them like kids, even though actually in Allah's sight they're not kids. They've already entered into manhood. And when you treat someone like children, and you talk to them like children, and you give them an environment in which everything is reinforcing the idea that they're immature, they're just kids, they're just young, they never even accept for themselves that they're men. And what that does is sometimes you find, and this is reality, not just in the Muslim world, but in the world, there's reality, that there are people that are now 35 years old, addicted to their PlayStation, and haven't ever become men, because they're still kids. They never snap out of it. And so what we want to, you know, one of the most important things that I hope you get out of this discussion is what is the picture Allah paints of a man that's become mature? And that man that's become mature could be 18 years old, could be 17 years old. I mean, and the Muslim history is full of incredible young, what we call teenage kids, but not according to Allah, they're not kids, that became generals of armies. That you know, were advisors to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Can you imagine Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina? I mean, he became a messenger at the age of 40. And when someone's a governor, when someone's in a position of governor, like the Prophet was sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was in his mid-50s when he was a governor of Medina. And when you think of a governor, and you think of the advisors of a governor, you think of people that have many years of political experience, you think of people that are experts in some field, right? And they're the ones that he's going to take important advice from. And when he came to some of the most intricate issues in his life, and some of the most personal issues in his life, he would take istishara, he would take consultation from young men. In some cases, teenagers. Some cases, early 20s. He would take their opinion and their input. Something as serious as the Quraysh coming and attacking Medina, and he wants the counsel of the Shabab of Medina. He wants the young people to speak up. And he's taking their advice, and he listened to them over the adults, for better or for worse. So, age is a relative thing in different cultures. But from a religious point of view, the first thing I really want you to internalize is, if you are a teenager, and if you are in your 20s, then you're not a kid. You're not a kid. You know, people like to say that to you, oh, you're not a man, you're just a kid, let him have fun. But no. Because if you say, let him have fun, and Allah decides that they die now, Allah knows how long our life is, they're not, when judgment day starts, the angels aren't going to be like recording, oh, you were just a kid, okay, you go easy on you. You're an adult. And you're standing there like, wait, everybody told me I'm just a kid. No, you're not. You're not. You're an adult. So that level of maturity needs to get brought up. Now, how did it get brought up in the case of Musa alayhi salam? Some background that I need you to understand. Musa alayhi salam, since birth, was actually, much soon after birth, he was raised in the castle and the palace of the Pharaoh. And he was raised as a royal. Now, what does that mean? That means he doesn't have to work a single day in his life. Everything is taken care of. The house is taken care of. Food is taken care of. Security is taken care of. On top of all of his needs, because he's royal, he can have whatever kind of ride he wants. He can have whatever kind of fun he wants. He can get whatever he wants whenever he wants it. And nobody can question him. Nobody can ask him anything because he has access to everything. It's the equivalent of somebody being like a millionaire or a multi-millionaire and they have a teenage kid. Right? And you imagine that some of you that are in high school or remember the days of your high school or that age, in your school, there were some kids that were super rich families. Right? And those kids are the biggest trouble. Because they could do whatever they want. They come in the fanciest car. Everybody's looking at them. Wow, man, he's got a nice car. He's got new shoes on every week. He's got the most expensive clothes. They're the most popular. And they do the most stupid things in their life. Because they have everything. They don't have any value. And here you are delivering newspapers and like working at shoe stores and whatever else to scrape up a little bit of money so you can get a used car for $500 that rides almost as fast as your bicycle. Right? And then they pull up with their Mercedes and they're like, that's different lives. But Musa alayhi salam actually has this royal lifestyle. And in which kingdom? The mightiest kingdom on earth at the time, the pharaohs, the faraina. But somehow, even though that environment is perfect for someone being spoiled, it's actually meant for someone to be spoiled. Allah says, Allah intervened. And Allah says, أَتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. When he became mature and strong in his age, meaning he came into manhood, young man now, Allah says he gave him hukman, he gave him an ability to make good decisions. That's how I'll translate hukman. Hukman doesn't just mean wisdom, it means the strength and the will to make good decisions. Now let's pause before we go any further. Actually, I'll tell you one more thing. Well, ilman and knowledge. So to put simply, wisdom and knowledge. Now let's think about that for a second. The basic definition of wisdom, hikmah in the Arabic language is al-ilmu nafi'u wal-amalu bihi. It's two-part definition. Beneficial knowledge that you can act on. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. And in this ayah, Allah gave him wisdom and knowledge. Hukm and ilm. Now, this order is important because usually when you're young, you're learning, you're getting ilm. You're learning and learning and learning. And when you get older and your beard turns white like mine is now, then you could say, maybe I'm starting to get a little bit of wisdom. Because experience teaches you, right? So we think of wisdom as something that belongs to old people. And we think of knowledge because, you know, as you get older, your mind is not as sharp. If you're sitting in a college classroom with a bunch of young 20-year-olds, they're answering all their questions and you're still on like the first minute, you're lost because your mind is not as sharp anymore. You have more wisdom, they have a better ability to seek knowledge, right? So usually you would think knowledge comes first and then later on comes wisdom. Your ability to memorize, your ability to learn and study is far sharper at a younger age. And then it slows down, but your ability to analyze and your ability to take what's beneficial and what's harmful, your maturity, that comes at a later age. But Allah says about this young man that before even knowledge, Allah prioritized that He gave him wisdom. So listen, young man. Listen to this carefully. When you're at a certain age, then you can be super smart in school. You can get 100 on your math test and your biology exam. You can be an A student. You can apply to the best colleges. You are highly, highly intelligent. And sometimes these highly intelligent young men are not very intelligent at all. It's the same intelligent young man who's speeding on a highway. It's the same intelligent young man who's doing drugs or drinking alcohol or doing things that are completely, utterly reckless and harmful for themselves. When it comes to the books, extremely smart. When it comes to the classroom, extremely smart. When it comes to life, making the stupidest decisions. Making absolutely absurd decisions. Which means what we've done in the world today is we are proud when our children have knowledge. Like if your son is a valedictorian, or they got honors, or they got a medal, or they got, you know, they did good in their school, where you're proud of your kids. You're proud because we glorify knowledge. You know, we glorify degrees. But while they're getting those degrees, they're sacrificing basic wisdom. They don't know what it means to be a decent person. They don't know what it means to control their impulses. They don't know what it means to make good choices. And quite frankly, if you're living in any part, most of the world, it's not even just an American problem, in pretty much the entire world today, young men are faced with the opportunity to make terrible choices every single minute. Every single minute you have an opportunity to make a bad choice. Your wisdom is questioned all the time. All the time. And if you don't have the strength of will to fight off bad choices and to make mature decisions, then you don't have hukum. You may have a lot of knowledge and you find young men in a situation where they say, I know it's bad, man, but I just can't stop. I mean, I know, I have ilm, I know, but I can't help it. Because there's no emphasis on hukum. The first thing in the mature, you know, building of a man that Allah highlights is the ability to hold yourself back from making bad choices. Allah does not hold you accountable, young men. He doesn't hold you accountable for having bad thoughts. He holds you accountable for letting those thoughts take control of you, for not having hukum. If He brought you into, and it can feel like those feelings, those impulses, those emotions can be so overwhelming. You're like, I just got to do this. I can't control it. I need to do what I got to do. I'm only human. You can come up with all these excuses for yourself. But at the end, what Allah is telling you and me is Allah has given us a profound ability to control ourselves, to actually demonstrate maturity. He has given men that strength. Men and women, but I'm talking about men in this khutbah. He has given you that strength. And then when you have that strength, then knowledge becomes different. Because then when you learn something, you learn it only to further yourself in wisdom. So Allah says about Musa alayhi salam, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ وَاسْتَوَى, when he became mature age and he was very strong. Istawa actually is used for barks of trees. Meaning he worked out, if you will. He was extremely muscular and strong. And now you think he's popular. He's extremely wealthy, he belongs to the royal family, he's a teenager, he's super smart, and he's strong. That's a lethal combination for any young man in any society. All kinds of trouble will come your way when that combination exists. You see? And yet Allah says he was able to remain mature. Allah is teaching us through this example. Musa alayhi salam was not brought up in an Islamic environment. He was brought up in Fir'aun's house, for God's sake. The only positive influence was the advice of His mother and his stepmother, that's it. Those are the positive influences in his life. But the entire society, and you know and I know, young men don't spend most of their time with their mothers. They're outside. They're with their friends. They're doing other things. That's one small influence, while you have all these other terrible influences. There's nobody reminding him of what's halal and what's haram outside. None. And there's everything that you can think of that's bad is open and accessible. So when you think, man, times used to be better, and now it's because of my environment that I messed up. Allah gave us an example of a remarkable young man who's in a pretty terrible environment. And he's standing his ground. حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ And that's how we compensate those who excel. So this is the first key sort of hint that Allah gave us about the early maturity of Musa alayhi salam. The second piece of the puzzle with Musa alayhi salam that helps us think about what kind of personality do you want to have. And by the way, when some of you start thinking, well, you know, he's a prophet, so it's not like we're prophets, so this doesn't really apply. He became Allah's messenger well after he was married, when he was up on the mountain, when Allah spoke to him, when revelation came to him. Right now, this is a story of a good young man. That's actually what this story is. It's a story of a good young man who's not a messenger of Allah yet. You see? And people even make the false assumption that he killed somebody. And which prophet killed someone? He wasn't a prophet yet. Even though that was a mistake, he wasn't a messenger of Allah yet. He became a messenger, but Allah gave him the message. And that happened on the mountain much later on. وَأَنَا اخْتَرْتُكَ فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى Right? So, but anyway, so now, coming back to just one more bit that at least in this khutbah I want to share with you about personality, young man's personality. Musa alayhi salam eventually ends up running away from Egypt, and so he has no connection left to his family. He's in a new world altogether. And in this new world, he sees a couple of young girls struggling to feed their animals, and he helps them. And when he helps them, they go back and tell their dad. And their dad says, sounds like a good person, call him. So now, and we'll dig into that part of the story later because I'm going to focus on Musa alayhi salam for now. He comes to the house. And you can tell from a careful reading of the Quran that one of the girls really likes him. She thinks he's a good catch. Now, I mean, these girls work outside. They work animals by the lake, by the pond, where all the other non-Muslims and corrupt people are all there too. Not Muslims are corrupt, but they are in a corrupt society. And so they hear bad influences all the time. They see bad men all the time. They deal with it all the time. But they see this is a good person, so she kind of likes him. Even though he told her father, he told her, you know, he didn't come to ask for marriage. He just came because he had nowhere else to go. He was homeless. He had no other clothes than the one he was wearing. He didn't know where his next meal was going to come from. So when the girl came back and said, my father would like to pay you for the help you provided, he said, okay, let's go get paid. So he goes. He goes, and when he's sitting there, وَقَصَّ عَلَيْهِ الْقَصَصِ He told the old gentleman his whole story. I was raised in the castle, I accidentally killed someone, I'm a fugitive from the law, the Egyptian Empire with their military and their military police are looking for me, the order is shoot to kill, I'm wanted for murder, and I'm also homeless, this is my situation. And one of the girls who's listening from the other side calls the dad and says, she's listening from the other side, like, oh my God, what a story. And she calls the father. And she says some remarkable words. She says, Ya abati sta'jirhu. Father, dad, hire him. Dad, I love you, hire him. Give him a job. I just heard he killed someone. I just heard he's homeless. I just heard he's a fugitive. I think you should give him a job. Wait, you know, she's not just saying give him a job. She's saying, I'd like to marry you. Because if he gives him a job, he's going to work at the house. That's where he's going to work. And there's two unmarried girls there. The only logical way this is going to work is if they're going to get married. But she found a smart way to tell her dad, I think this is a good man, and this can help our family, and I'm ready to marry him. But her coded way of saying that was, hire him. But she didn't just stop there. And that's what I want to leave off for next time. إِنَّ خَيْرَ مَنِ اسْتَأْجَرْتْ الْقَوِي الْأَمِينَ She said, the best kind of person you can hire, in code, the best kind of person you want me to marry, the best candidate for me would be Al-Qawiyu al-Amin, the strong, the trustworthy. Two qualities. She sees two qualities in him. He's strong and he's trustworthy. Now strong doesn't just mean that he's muscular. Strong also means he was strong enough to not be like other men when they deal with women. Strong also means he was able to do the right thing when everybody else was doing the wrong thing. Strong also means he was able to take responsibility and fix something wrong and actually intervene and not just be a coward. He was, when you see something wrong, you step up. You be a man about it. He's pretty strong when it comes to that. Strong also means he's capable of working. He's capable of making a living. He's capable of, he's financially strong. Even though he doesn't have a job, you should say, you know, nowadays we say, what kind of job do you have? How much money do you make? She's not looking at how much money he makes. The guy's homeless. She's looking at his strength. He has the capability of working. He has the maturity and the work ethic. I can tell. He's not just someone spoiled. I didn't mention this to you. Even when he was a royal, he used to skip out of the house and go in the middle of the afternoon when the sun is at its worst in Egypt, and he used to help the poor do their work because they were all slave laborers. He used to do their work. What teenage billionaire is going to do that? Because he had work ethic in him. He was concerned for others. He cared. He didn't just care about himself. He wasn't a young man who's thinking, man, what shoes am I going to buy now? What video game am I going to buy? Man, I got to get a new car. When am I going to watch this movie? When are we going to go to this game? Me. Entertain me, feed me, clothe me, make me look better. He's not obsessed with himself. He sees a problem, he wants to go help them. No, look at me, give me attention. That's strength. Strength means that he uses the gifts Allah has given him, not obsessed with himself. And by the way, when you get to a teenage, you know, age, then it is pretty natural for most young men to become obsessed with themselves. You start spending a little extra time in front of the mirror. You start thinking a lot about your shoes and the jeans you're wearing. What kind of car? If your parents drive an old, busted old car, you're like, Dad, can you drop me 2 blocks before the high school? I don't want to be seen in this, classic. I'll walk by myself. You know? You want to look a certain way. You want to come across a certain way. But he has the strength to let these petty things be petty things. He wants to be a man. So he's al-Qawi. And that's a very powerful quality that I want to start off with. But inshallah ta'ala, in coming khutbahs, I want to pick up on this. How I want the young men of our community to actually be strong. Don't just think about entertaining yourself. Don't just think about feeding yourself. What are you going to do with your life? How many, you know, I meet college kids that are like 20, 22, 23 years old. Hey, what's your major? I haven't decided. What? What are you going to do? I'm thinking about, what? You're thinking, now? You should be clear about what you want or explore and ask questions. As soon as you hit your puberty, even before then, you should be working. And some of you that, mashallah, Allah has given you a house, Allah has given you a car, you know, Allah has given you luxury, and you worked hard to get there, and you want your kids to not have the hard life that you had, you're destroying your kids. They don't work, so they don't appreciate anything. You keep buying them things and they're like, I'll just get another one next Eid. They don't know what it means to work hard, to get yelled at by a boss, to be late and lose your job, and then work, and then be able to buy a t-shirt. They don't know that. They don't know what it means to be a man. They just know how to just get things, and then when they don't get them, they can whine, they can complain. I hate it here. I want a room by myself. I don't want to share it with my brother. Are you serious? Are you 4 years old? You're men. You're men. This is not what men do. This is what children do. Instead of being contributors to the household, men living with their family, having their own job, and not paying a single bill in the house. Are you serious? This is manhood? This is what manhood looks like? Where's quwa? Where's the quwa? So this is something we have to dig into before you say, well, you know, Ustaz Numan said men should get married because there's fitna in society. Yeah, men should get married. Let's be men first. And then we can talk about getting married. Let's pick up some responsibility first. Let's carry ourselves first. Let's be qawi first. And then we pick on al-ameen, al-qawi, al-ameen. And we go from there. And Allah will paint a very clear picture of what He wants you to look like. And by the way, when you have those qualities, you don't have to find someone to get married to. They'll find you. You could be homeless, running away from an empire, with no clothes on your back except the ones you're wearing. And Allah will find you somebody. You don't have to go looking. Because you're qawi and ameen. So maybe there's something wrong with us, with men, not with the society and blame everybody else. That's not what Musa alayhi salam does. That's not what the Quran teaches us. I pray that Allah Azza wa Jalla gives our sons the ability to become the kind of men that will strengthen this ummah and really uplift it for generations to come. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikr al-hakim. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.